Fire. It's so elemental. And in so many ways, it's so fascinating. I think one of the best things that I like about camping is sitting around the campfire late at night and just watching the flames flicker and dance, and then feeling the warmth of those flames on your face. Or to sit in front of a fireplace on a cold winter night with the lights turned down low. There's something comforting and peaceful about those moments. Fire is even biblical. With a new fire, a divine fire, that didn't consume the bush, God called Moses to lead his chosen people out of slavery. And with the pillar of the fire of his presence, God led his people through a dangerous wilderness and brought them safely into a land that was filled with the fruits of his promise. And when the Lord asked, "Whom shall I send to my people? Who will go for us?" Isaiah was able to cry out, "Here am I, Lord, send me," because his lips had been cleansed with the fire of an ember from God's holy altar. John the Baptist, he declared that he was preparing the way for Jesus, who would what? Baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit, or the other way around if you're reading the text. And then after his resurrection and ascension, Jesus sent the new fire of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit set the church ablaze and launched its mission. It was his mission of sending his purifying word and spirit into the world. And the Spirit of Jesus has called us out of darkness of sin so that we might live in a way that others would see the fire of Christ in us by what we say and do. Yesterday morning, seven young people embarked on this adventure of faith that we find ourselves somewhere in the middle of. But they were doing that in a very intentional way as they made their solemn promise to remain faithful from now until the day they're safely home with God. And what I said to them applies to you and me as well. That fire that I just talked about was sparked, as it was for them, at your baptism, when God called you through water and the word to be his son or his daughter. And that fire was fueled over the years by those who told you about Jesus. Your parents, your grandparents, your maybe pastors that you've known, directors of Christian education, Sunday school teachers, and many other. These people loved and served you so much that they wanted you to know Jesus, who carries you through a life in a very troubled and broken world, all the way to heaven. But here's something you need to know about that fire. It isn't yours. It doesn't come from some innate ability you possess. It doesn't exist as a byproduct of your psychology or your biology or even from your training. It isn't something you can acquire like a car or a pair of shoes. You can't turn it on and you can't turn it off. And you can't control it because it's the fire of God. It belongs to Him. And it's His gift to you. I've said this many times, but I think we need to hear it again and again. God's very essence, his nature, is one of giving. God never takes. He only gives. He has nothing that we can give him, but he has so much to give us. God gave you and the whole world his greatest gift when he gave his son. And Jesus Christ, like his Father, is also a giver. We know that because he came and gave himself, poured himself out, poured out his very life, laying it down for you and for me and for all of God's creation. And after he ascended to heaven, he kept on giving as he gave his gift of the Spirit. And that Spirit, like the Father and the Son, is also a giver. He's given you gifts which are to be used for his purposes. And he wants you to use those gifts. Use them in his church as you serve to further his mission of telling others, letting others know about Him. You're to use those gifts for others in acts of service. Service that's done in the name of Christ. God Himself has placed His fire in you. But we must remember that that fire isn't ours. God gave it to us because He wants us to give it away, to share it with others. Paul spoke about that fire in our epistle lesson this morning. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." As was mentioned earlier, this letter is possibly the last letter Paul wrote. It's certainly the last communication that we have from him. And as he wrote this, he was alone in prison. The book of Acts ends with him in prison awaiting a trial before Caesar. And tradition tells us that the trial went well enough that he was released. Now, he may have stayed in Rome, continuing his work with the church there, or, as one tradition suggests, he may have gone further west, possibly as far as Spain. That was certainly what he wanted to do. He desired to do that, and we read about that in his letter to the Romans. But at some point, possibly about the time of the great fire that took place under Emperor Nero, Paul was arrested again. And he knew that this would now result in his death, simply because he dared to love Jesus. So he gave Timothy, who was still a young man, the responsibility of overseeing, another word used to describe being a pastor, overseeing the church that was in Crete. But Paul knew Timothy very well. And he knew that Timothy would be tentative in his leadership because he was much younger than those that he was to guide. And that's why Paul reminded him, as I'm reminding you this morning, that what Timothy was to do, he couldn't do by his own power, his own gifts and abilities. God had given him everything he needed, but now he needed the will to boldly use those gifts. And this gift, this fire of faith given by the Holy Spirit has been given to you and to me. In fact, to everyone who confesses Christ as Savior and Lord. And like Paul said to Timothy, I'm saying to you, fan that fire into flame. Set it ablaze. Let it burn so that it might be seen by everybody. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Rather, Paul tells us that our God doesn't give us his gifts so that they might be used timidly, a little here or a little there. He says that God's Spirit is a spirit of power. And today God's saying to you and to me, fan that fire into a brightly burning flame. Problem is, anytime you play with fire, it can be dangerous. It's been a long, cool spring. Really long, cool spring. And the grasses are growing in, I would imagine, great abundance, if they're not buried by snow again. But it won't be long before the fire season starts. And a fire that's out of control is fierce. And it can be destructive and deadly. But fire can also be used for good purposes. That same fire that can consume thousands of acres of forest land can be used in limited burns to ultimately protect those very same forests. And farmers use fire to burn weeds and grasses and trees which would grow and choke out their crops. Now, using fire this way can be risky. It's risky because if the fire gets away, it can do more damage than what you're trying to prevent. And in the same way, fanning the flame that God has given you is dangerous. It's risky. If you fan that flame God has given you, it can change things. It will change things. Change you. Now, God only knows what fanning that flame might mean, but it may very well mean that your whole life will change. If you fan that flame, it may well begin to control everything you say or do. Maybe fanning that flame will mean you have to change something about the way you think or the way you talk. And it's so tempting and so much easier, so much safer to keep that flame flickering, keep it burning low. We live in this world, as we live in this world, we're all tempted to not let that flame get too hot. Let it burn, but not too much. But Paul told Timothy, and he's telling you and me, that God would have us fan that flame until it's burning with great power. In fact, he wants that fire to consume you. He wants that fire to burn so brightly that others will see it. So as risky as playing with fire is, God wants us all to do just that. And we can. We can with boldness and confidence. Because as with all things God directs us to do, the risk is worth it. The fire that's directed by the Spirit will produce a healthy and fertile field which will bring forth the fruit that God desires. Paul said that that Spirit is one of power and love and self-control. The Spirit will give you the power to be God's instrument. And the Holy Spirit is able to take that which is almost nothing and make it into something incredible. And God can use each one of us in ways that we never dreamed possible because His power is unlimited. And along with His power, God gives you love. A love which sacrifices self. A love which is seen perfectly in Jesus, who made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and humbled Himself to becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He did that because He loves you. He did that for the joy of knowing that you would be in heaven with Him forever. And God gives you the power of self-control. He would have you use His gifts not simply for yourself, but for the good of others. And Spirit-empowered self-control will enable you to fight the desire to put Him on the back burner of your life and make Him your first priority. I mentioned earlier how wonderful it is to sit by a fire on a cold night, how fire can be fascinating as we watch it move and dance, how it can be so comforting to be near. And that's also true of the fire of God's Spirit. This fire is warm because it comes from the very heart of God. And seeing and knowing God's heart, growing more deeply in God's love, is much like a fire that draws us toward it, that fascinates us as it changes us, that comforts us, as it reminds us that God is always near to us. So like Paul, I'm reminding you today that God has given to you a fire. We know it, because it's given to all who bear the name of Christ. It's a new fire, and like His mercies, it comes to you new each and every day. And God wants that fire to burn in you, and He will through the power of grace. God would have you fan that fire into a flame. He would have you set it ablaze in such a way that His love not only warms and comforts you, but so that others are drawn to Him and comforted as well. So let's not be fearful of what God would have us do. Let's not be fearful of what that fire will do to us. But let's be bold and fan that fire into flame. In fact, let us be consumed by that fire as we give ourselves over to the Lord and to His will for our life. Amen.